Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, text number 2.
Nahi asyartha suragane saksha nishreya satmanaha naiva surebhyo vidvesho Nodvegascha gunaschahi Nahi asyartha suragane Saksha nishreya satmanaha Naiva surebhyo vidvesho Nodvegascha gunaschahi Na, not He, certainly, asya, his, arthaha, benefit or interest, suragane, with the demigods, sakshat, personally, nishreyasya, of the highest bliss, atmanaha, whose nature, na, not, eva, certainly, Asurebhyah, for the demons, Vidveshah, envy, na, not, Udvegah, fear, cha, and, Agunasya, who possess no material qualities, he, certainly, translation and purport by his divine grace, la, Abhay Channarvinda Bhaktivedanta Samashra Prabhupada ki, jai. Translation. Lord Vishnu Himself, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is a reservoir of all pleasure. Therefore, what benefit would He derive from siding with the demigods? What interest would He fulfill in this way? Since the Lord is transcendental, why should He fear the Asuras and how could He be envious of them? Purport. We should always remember that the distinction between spiritual and material. That which is material is infected by material qualities, but these qualities cannot touch that which is spiritual or transcendental. Krishna is absolute, whether he is in the material world or spiritual world. When we see partiality in Krishna, this vision is due to his external energy. Otherwise, how could his enemies attain salvation after being killed by him? Everyone who deals with the Supreme Personality of Godhead gradually acquires the qualities of the Lord. The more one advances in spiritual consciousness, the less he is affected by the duality of material qualities. The Supreme Lord, therefore, must certainly be freed from these qualities. His enmity and friendship are external features presented by the material energy. He is always transcendental. He is absolute whether he kills or favors or bestows his favor. Envy and friendship arise in one who is imperfect. We fear our enemies because in the material world we are always in need of help. The Lord, however, does not need anyone's help, for he is Atmarama. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 9.26, Patram pushvam phalam toyam yome bhaktya prayaschati tadham bhakti uparitam Ashnami Prayatatmanaha. If a devotee offers me with devotion a little leaf, a flower, fruit or water, I shall accept it. Why does the Lord say this? Is he dependent on the offering of the devotee? He is not actually dependent, but he likes to be dependent upon his devotees. This is his mercy. Similarly, he does not fear the asuras. Thus, there is no question of partiality in the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakya Shakshimlitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजन सहितं कृष्ण चैतन्य देवं श्री राधा कृष्ण पादान सहगन ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिय। वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण पृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामीनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
हरे कृष्णा। थैंक यू ऑल फॉर कमिंग। सो आई रिक्वेस्ट द ब्लेसिंग्स ऑफ ऑल द डिवोटीज प्रेजेंट हियर। आई कैन डिस्कस समथिंग ऑन दिस ब्यूटिफुल वर्स एंड पर्पट इन दिस सेक्शन ऑफ भागवतम। So this is the beginning of the seventh canto. So a few days back, Bhurijan Prabhu, very nicely he was giving the summary of the sixth canto, and then he was saying how seventh canto is so important. Okay. Talks about the pastime of Narsingdev and Prahlad Maharaj, right? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to hear again and again the seventh canto of Bhagavatam when he used to go to Gadadhar Pandit for hearing Bhagavatam. So it's a very, very important canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the pastimes of Prahlad Maharaj, Narsingdev. And in the beginning, how does this canto begin? It begins with the question of Parikshit Maharaj, because just in the previous canto, we heard that how the whole pastime of Vritrasur, and how so many pastimes in the earlier cantos, where it is very clear that how Krishna is protecting the demigods, right, and killing the demons. So here Parikshit Maharaj, in the first verse, which you have heard yesterday, yesterday's verse is, King Parikshit inquired, "My dear Brahmana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu, being everyone's well-wisher, is equal and extremely dear to everyone. How then did he become partial like a common man for the sake of Indra and thus kill Indra's enemies? How can a person equal to everyone be partial to some and inimical towards others?" Right? And in today's verse, he is again saying that Lord Vishnu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is a reservoir of all pleasure. Therefore, what benefit would he derive from siding with the demigods? What interest would he fulfill in this way? Since the Lord is transcendental, why should he fear the asuras? And how could he be envious of them? The next verse also says the same thing, that please clear my doubt. And then from the fourth verse onwards, Shukdev Maharaj will give the answer. And Prabhupada says that Parikshit Maharaj is asking this question for all of us because he wants to clarify this common doubt, because anybody may doubt in this way. So Prabhupada is saying in this purport, Srila Prabhupada, that in this material world, we have the conception of enemies and friends, right? Envy and friendship arise in one who is imperfect. In this material world, generally we have this division, right? He is my friend, he is my enemy. Because we are looking at our own benefit. And we are always in fear, so we want, Prabhupada is saying, we want help of somebody. So we think, oh, he is my friend, he is going to help me. We are afraid of the enemy because we are fearful he may harm me. So this is the duality in this material world, friendship and enemies. We say somebody is our friend, somebody is our enemy. But for the Lord, there is no question of such distinction. Right? Because the Lord is Atma Rama. He does not need anybody's help. In fact, the Lord is the source of everything. So why should he be afraid of somebody whom he has created? So there is no question of God being afraid of his enemies, or God being envious of his enemies. Krishna is never envious of anybody, right?
Like in the previous purport, Srila Prabhupada quotes the verse of Bhagavad Gita, Samaham sarva bhuteshu name dvesha sthina priya. I am equal to everyone. No one is dear to me, nor is anyone my enemy. So, this is the first chapter. This doubt will be clarified. You will see Sukhdev Maharaj answers very clearly that there is no question of Krishna being partial to anyone. Right? And then he gives the example that even if Krishna kills someone, he is benefiting him. Right? He gives the example of Shishupal. Shishupal was blaspheming Krishna, but still when Krishna killed him, he got salvation. Right? He got Sayujya Mukti. Similarly, we know that in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Krishna arranged the whole battlefield of Kurukshetra, and how many soldiers were killed? What's the number? I think it's a huge number. No? Anybody remembers? 640. Yeah, right. 640 million, thank you. 640 million soldiers were killed on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Such a huge number, we can't even comprehend. 64 crores, it's almost half of the Indian population today. So, but Krishna arranged such a huge battle, and you may think, oh, why Krishna is doing this, killing everybody? But what happened? Bhishma Dev says in first canto that everybody in the battlefield that died while having darshan of Krishna's beautiful form, and everybody, they were liberated. So is this Krishna is harming the demons or is benefiting them? He's benefiting them. Right? Krishna is doing great favor to the demons by giving them liberation. In Krishna's pastimes, all the demons that Krishna killed, be it Putna, of course Putna, she didn't get, see normally what happens when Krishna kills any demon, the demon achieves Sayujya Mukti. That means the demon merges into Krishna's form, which is not a very good form of liberation, because devotees, they don't want this kind of liberation, they want to serve Krishna personally. But here, special occasion, like when Krishna personally, you know, he killed Putna. Shri Krishna Balaram ki jai, Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai, Shri Radha Shyam Sundar ki jai. Okay. So when Krishna killed Putna, so what destination did Putna achieve? She became one of the, she attained the position of a mother of Krishna in the spiritual world. Just imagine how greatly merciful is Krishna. And just this pastime came into mind. You all know this famous pastime, that how, you know, this Pundarik Vidyanidhi, who was an associate of Lord Chaitanya, and he was externally appearing as if he was a materialistic devotee, right? He was dressed in a very luxurious way. He had so many servants who were, you know, whisking chamaras at him, and then he was eating pan. Right? He was eating pan. His lips were red by chewing pan, and there were servants who were carrying, you know, the spittoons where he used to spit the pan, and he was just looking at big mirrors and he was smiling. And Mukunda, actually, he took Gadadhar Pandit that I'll take you to great Vaishnav. So when Gadadhar Pandit came and saw this Pundarik Vidyanidhi, what kind of Vaishnav is this? Is he a Vaishnav? Living in such a luxurious way and such materialistic person. So Mukunda could understand the mind of Gadadhar. So then Mukunda, he chanted this famous verse. Aho bakiyam sanakal kutam jigham shayaya piyam sadvi lebhe gatim dhatrim tato tatam uchityam kamba dayalum sharanam brajema. So then he chanted this beautiful verse. He says, who can be more merciful than Krishna, who granted the position of mother to Baki, the sister of Bakasur, who came to kill Krishna? So if somebody reads this verse, he can never accuse Krishna that he is partial or he is not merciful. Who can be more merciful than Krishna? Somebody came to kill Krishna, and Krishna is looking at the positive quality. No, no, she came with some motherly feeling. She came to offer milk to me. And therefore Krishna awarded her the position of his mother in the spiritual world. So who can be more merciful than Krishna? So therefore any such accusation is absolutely false. Krishna is the most merciful. Right? And Prabhupada also says that when we say Krishna is neutral to everyone, it means Krishna gives equal opportunity to everyone. For everybody, he is saying, Sarva Dharman Parityaja Mam Ekam Sharanam Braja. He is not distinguishing. Anybody can come to my shelter and I will award him fearlessness. I will free him from all the reactions. So this opportunity to advance in Krishna consciousness is there for everyone. But unfortunately, some people don't take advantage of that. And then they accuse, oh no, God is partial to his devotees. No. Krishna is saying, everybody become my devotee. So he is giving equal opportunity to everyone. Right? In one lecture, I heard Srila Prabhupada says that sun is there for everyone, right? Now, these days, fortunately, we have everyday good sunrise, right? This month of December also. So now, sun is there for everybody. But if somebody shuts all the doors and windows and keeps it inside a cold room, so no, you know, what is this? So cold, so dark. God is not merciful. No, he's wrong. He just has to open the doors and windows. He has to come out of the room and sun is there for everyone. So foolish person, he shuts the doors and windows and he accuses that there is no sun. So similarly, people, they falsely accuse Krishna, no, he is merciful, he is partial to his devotees. No, Krishna is saying, anybody can take shelter of me and I will bestow my mercy to everyone. But unfortunately, some people, they don't avail Krishna's mercy, they don't approach Krishna. Or just like another example, this is my own concocted example. So suppose the government launches some scheme, right, that anybody can come with some documents and take this much money, or you know, whatever. These days government has many schemes, a subsidy for poor people. But if a poor man doesn't come to the government and take the scheme, and he accuses that the government is favoring the rich, so this is his mistake. He is not approaching for favor. Similarly, Krishna is merciful to everyone. So it's their misfortune, those who are not approaching Krishna. And another point Prabhupada makes here is that, see, we in this world, what happens? Why we like our friends? Because the friends praise us, they help us. And why we don't like our enemies? Because the so-called enemies, they don't like us, they chastise us or they criticize us. So therefore we hate our enemies and we love our friends. But again, Krishna is Atmarama. He doesn't need anybody's praise. Nor is affected by anybody's criticism. So when Krishna is killing the demons, it's not that Krishna is angry at them. Oh, this demon, this rascal, he's against me. No. When he's killing demons, he's also doing out of compassion. Because it's bad for that living entity. Krishna is not affected, right? Krishna doesn't care. You know? Do you think Krishna has shortage of devotees? In the spiritual world, Lakshmi Sahasra Satsambrama Sevyamanam. Millions and millions of goddess of fortune, they are serving Krishna. So Krishna doesn't care in this material world if some demons they criticize him. No. It's for their mercy that Krishna sometimes kills them. Yeah. Prabhupada says in this purport also, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam. Krishna is saying that if a devotee worships me and offers me little leaf or fruit, so do you think Krishna is in need of all that? No. You know, Prabhupada, you heard in earlier purports also, Prabhupada says that some people, they say Daridra Narayan, they are foolish. Narayan is not Daridra, he is Lakshmipati, he has everything. Bhuktaram Yagyatapasam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram Suridam Sarva Bhutanam Gyanta Mam Shantim Richati. He is the owner of everything. But still, he takes pleasure when his devotee offers him something out of love. Just like this example is given, that everything belongs to the father, but if a child take something from the father and again offers to the father feels happy. Similarly, everything belongs to Krishna, but if we just accept this fact, oh Krishna, everything is yours, please accept this something. So Krishna becomes very happy. He does not fear the asuras, right? But he likes to be dependent on his devotees. So this is what this section talks about in the first part of the first chapter. So Sukhdev Maharaj is proving that how Krishna can never be partial, or Krishna doesn't distinguish between enemies and friends. Because ye yatha mam prapadyante tan svataiva bhajamyaham. So as you approach Krishna, Krishna reciprocates. So if somebody thinks Krishna is his enemy, so Krishna acts in that way. If somebody approaches Krishna out of love and affection, Krishna reciprocates in that particular way. So it's never Krishna's fault. Right? So this part is absolutely clarified. And then Shukdev Maharaj narrates the incident of Shishupal. He says that how a similar doubt was asked by Yudhishthir Maharaj. Because in the Rajasuya Yajna, you all know what happened? That Krishna was worshipped first, Agra Puja. And when Krishna was worshipped first in the assembly, because Agra Puja is a very important part of Rajasuya Yajna, the most exalted personality is chosen for Agra Puja. So when Krishna was worshipped, so Shishupal became very, very envious. So Shishupal, from his childhood, you know, when small children, they can't even speak proper words, they speak, you know, fumbling words. From that age, he started blaspheming Krishna. He started abusing Krishna. So Shishupal, imagine in what state of mind he was. And he started just left and right, he just blasphemed Krishna like anything. Right? And still Krishna was, you know, his intention was that he wanted to destroy the sacrifice, because he took his sword and he thought, because when he chastised Krishna, what happened? All the Pandavas and all the devotees, they were very furious. He said, Shishupal, they were ready to kill him. And Shishupal wanted that, because in a yajna, if there is bloodshed, then the yajna is spoiled. So Shishupal was so envious that he wanted the yajna to be spoiled. But then, when he was ready to fight Krishna, he pacified him. He said, don't worry. He just made everybody sit down, and he was going on blaspheming Krishna. And in the end, what Krishna did? Just took out his Sudarshan Chakra and killed Shishupal in such a way that not even one drop of blood fell on the sacrificial arena. Because that's the rule of a sacrifice, that even if one drop of blood falls somewhere, the whole sacrifice is wasted. So just see Krishna, how much he is favoring his devotees. He didn't want Maharaj Yudhishthir's sacrifice to be spoiled. And of course Krishna is the expert, right? So he killed Shishupal in such a way that not even one drop of blood fell on the sacrificial arena. But then, in front of everyone's eyes, the soul of Shishupal merged in the body of Krishna. And therefore Yudhishthir Maharaj is asking the question, how is it possible? Because the jnanis, after many births of austerities and philosophical speculation, they may or may not attain Sayujya Mukti, that is merging in Krishna's body. But how is this sinful Shishupal, was always blaspheming Krishna, how did he achieve such kind of liberation? And then Narad Muni also, he talks about the same thing here. He tells that how for Krishna there is no distinction between enemy and friend. But specifically, Narad Muni mentions a very, very important point. What he says? He says that Shishupal was delivered because he remembered Krishna. So this is a very, very important theme. So for the next few minutes, I will talk a little bit about this remembrance of Krishna. How powerful is it? Right? So, you'll read later in this chapter, text 25, 26 onwards, that how Narad Muni is saying that even by enmity, by fear, affection or lust, by any one of them, if a conditioned soul somehow or other concentrates his mind upon the Lord, the result is the same. For the Lord, because of his blissful position, is never affected by enmity or friendship. Then he says this famous verse, right? That tasmat, 7.32, very, very important verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. And katamopi na vena syat panchanam purusham prati tasmat kenapi upayena mana krishna nivashayet. So some of you in Srila Prabhupada lectures, he often says tasmat kenapi upayena mana krishna nivashayet. And Rupa Goswami also says a similar shloka, yena kena upayena mana krishna nivashayet. So this is what is a very important verse, and the verse 731 is gopya kamad bhayat kanso dveshas chedyadayo nipaha sambandhat vrishnaya snehat yuyam bhaktya vayam vibho. And the verse before that is kama dveshat bhayat snehat yatha bhakteshvare manaha dvesya tad agham hitva bahavastad katim gataha. So these are the very famous verses of Bhagavatam. I'm sure you have heard this. What is the translation? Please hear carefully. Many persons have attained liberation simply by thinking of Krishna with great attention and giving up sinful activities. This great attention may be due to lusty desires, inimical feelings, fear, affection, or devotional service. I shall now explain how one receives Krishna's mercy simply by concentrating one's mind upon him. So the most important point here is that simply, somehow or other, if one remembers Krishna, he is benefited. It doesn't matter with what intention one remembers Krishna. Like it is said, somebody may remember Krishna out of lust, out of enmity, out of fear. But still, the main thing is to remember Krishna. And you'll be surprised, I did a small search on Vedabase today. Because I heard this famous thing that once Prabhupada said that even if somebody drinks wine and he remembers Krishna, that the taste, you must have heard this, right? So taste of wine is Krishna, he makes advancement. So five times, in five different lectures, Prabhupada told the same point. So it doesn't matter how one remembers Krishna, right? Because Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Rasohum apsu kanteya prabhasmi sasishuraya. So Prabhupada says, it's not difficult to remember Krishna. All of us, we drink water. When we drink water, just remember the taste of water is Krishna. And then Prabhupada says, in your country, people drink wine a lot. So even if they're drinking wine, if they remember the taste of wine is Krishna, they'll make advancement. Of course, Prabhupada is not saying that one drinking wine is good. Of course, he said four regulative principles. But the point he's trying to make is, just see the power of remembering Krishna. That even if somebody is drinking wine and he just remembers, oh, the taste of the wine is Krishna, he's making advancement. Something very powerful, right? Just see Srila Prabhupada, such a... And five times he's saying the same thing in different lectures. That you drink wine and even if while drinking wine one remembers Krishna, he'll make progress. So here the fact which is being emphasized is remembering Krishna. So one may think, oh, it's very nice, I'll also become enemy of Krishna and I'll also start abusing Krishna. That is not recommended here. Because Prabhupada says, Anukulyana Krishna Anushilanam Bhakti Ruttama. That is not bhakti. Bhakti means thinking of Krishna in a favorable way. In India, many times you'll hear this argument. I have also heard some people say, oh, what is the problem? I'll think of Krishna like an enemy. I'll also get liberation. No. That is not bhakti. Bhakti means thinking of Krishna favorably. But the pastime here is explained just to emphasize. Just see the power of remembering Krishna. Sishupal, again and again he was uttering the name of Krishna. Oh, Krishna is a rascal. Krishna is this. Krishna is this. So by again and again remembering Krishna, by uttering the word Krishna, he was getting purified. Right? And, or similarly Kansa here, right? That Kama, Dvesha, Bhayat, Snehat, and the example is this of Kansa also we hear. At Kamsa, he was so much absorbed in Krishna, he was always fearful, oh Krishna may come now to kill me. Right? In Bhagavatam he'll say, he was looking at, you know, everywhere he was looking at Krishna. Oh, Krishna is coming, Krishna is coming. So, doesn't mean that we have also to behave like Kamsa or Sishupal. But the point which is emphasized is, just see the power of remembering Krishna. So, why not we remember Krishna favorably? How much more benefit we'll get by remembering Krishna favorably? Right? This is the point. Right? So, this is the power of remembering Krishna. That in any way remember Krishna will get benefited. You know this famous thing that when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he used to see the articles, you know, which devotees used to ask, shall we publish this in the Harmonious magazine or not? He used to say, just count the number of times the word Krishna is appearing in the article. And if the word Krishna was appearing many times, he said, just print it. The content is not important. The word Krishna should come. So that at least anybody who reads that article, he should read the word Krishna again and again, again and again. So this is the mood of an acharya. You see Srila Prabhupada's purport of Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam. Every purport somehow or the other, he'll use the word Krishna. Right? Just one pastime just came to my mind now. I heard this, that once a South Indian scholar in Chennai, so he was very much angry. So he once told Prabhupada, or I think Prabhupada's disciple, that what is this? That your Swamiji in every purport of Bhagavad Gita is writing about Krishna. Whether the shloka speaks about Jnana Yoga, the shloka speaks of some other subject, Dhyana Yoga. But your Swami in the purport, he is saying Krishna, devotional service to Krishna. Why is this? He was very angry, you see. So this is how the envious people think. But Prabhupada, he knows that the purpose of Bhagavad Gita is Manmana Bhavmad Bhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru. Krishna mentions these words twice. Sarva Dharman Paritit. So therefore, in every purport of Bhagavad Gita, you pick up any chapter, Prabhupada will talk about Krishna, devotional service to Krishna. Because every verse ultimately is meant to lead us to bhakti. Similarly in Bhagavatam, any section you read, any story of Bhagavatam, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada will talk about Krishna, devotional service to Krishna. Because that is the actual purpose. Right? Somehow or other, tasmat kenapi upayena mana Krishna niveshayet. This is the purpose of all the scriptures. This is the purpose of our entire movement. Srila Prabhupada says many times that ISKCON is just meant to give a chance for people to come and remember Krishna. Right? And also there is one thing that once during Prabhupada's time, the Bollywood movie was released where they criticized the Hare Krishna devotees. Right? They made a song, some, you know this song, right? Some of you, Dam Maro Dam, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, something like that. And devotees were very much upset by hearing this, and they went to Srila Prabhupada. I heard this from Gopal Krishna Maharaj also once. He said that he and some devotees approached Srila Prabhupada and said, what is this, Srila Prabhupada? This will bring such a bad name to our movement. Prabhupada said, don't worry, at least they are chanting Hare Krishna. After some time, they will forget the first part and Hare Krishna, Hare Ram will remain. And that's what happened actually. So they increase the popularity of... So this is the mood of Acharyas, right? So that means they are happy if people somehow or the other they chant Krishna's name. Doesn't matter whether they're doing out of joke or out of envy. They just simply have to chant Krishna's name or remember Krishna in some way or other and they'll get purified. So this is what Srimad Bhagavatam speaks about and this is the mood of Acharyas. So yes, so this is one... Sorry. So this is one thing that we learned. Remembering Krishna somehow or the other will also benefit us. But for us devotees, what inspiration we should take from this section is that if so much benefit is derived by indirectly thinking of Krishna or by thinking of Krishna in enmity, what to speak of thinking of Krishna favorably? Anukulyena Krishnanushilanam Bhaktiruttama. If we think favorably of Krishna, imagine how much spiritual advancement we will make. And therefore, this Smaranam is so important. There is Navada Bhakti, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada Sevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakhyam Atma Nivedanam. So here you see first is Shravan Kirtan and then comes Smaran. Because Prabhupada says that whatever you talk about and whatever you hear, naturally we will think about the same thing. So therefore Shravan Kirtan is so important. Because the more we hear about Krishna, the more we chant Krishna's names, remembrance of Krishna will be automatic. It will be natural. Consequence of chanting and hearing about Krishna. There is no need to make any special endeavor to do that. If you just continue chanting and hearing about Krishna, remembrance of Krishna will naturally come. Right? So in the Nectar of Instruction, 8th verse, there is a famous verse, all of you know this verse, Tannama Rupa Charitadi Sukirtananu Smritya Kramena Rasana Manasi Niyojya Tishthen Tat Anuragi. You know, this verse that, I'll read the translation. Nectar of Instruction. It's a very important book for us, although it's small, but it's the essence of all the advice that Rupa Goswami is given. And the essence of Nectar of Instruction is the 8th verse, right? Rupa Goswami says in the 8th verse, the essence of all advice is that one should utilize his one's full time, 24 hours a day, in nicely chanting and remembering the Lord's divine name, transcendental form, qualities and eternal pastimes, thereby gradually engaging one's tongue and mind. In this way, one should reside in Vraja, Golok Vrindavan Dham, and serve Krishna under the guidance of devotees. One should follow in the footsteps of the Lord's beloved devotees who are deeply attached to his devotional service. So he's saying the essence of all advice is that one should utilize his full time for what? In nicely chanting and remembering the Lord's divine name, form, qualities and pastimes. So these four things. So many times he said, what do you mean by remembering Krishna? So remembering Krishna means remembering these four things. What are they? Naam, Roop, Charita, Adi. Right? That means Krishna is chanting Krishna's names, thinking of Krishna's form, having darshan of Krishna's form, hearing of Krishna's wonderful qualities, and hearing of Krishna's pastimes. Naam, Roop, Guna, Leela. So these are the four things through which we remember Krishna favorably, right? So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is quoting Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who is saying that actually this stage of remembering Krishna always, all the time, doesn't come all of a sudden. It's not that we have been practicing for a few years and why I'm not remembering Krishna all the time. It's not possible. There's a process. What is the process? So you can read this purport when you go back, but I'll read a little bit from it. So Prabhupada says here, one who has not yet developed interest in Krishna consciousness should give up all material motives and train his mind by following the progressive regulative principles, namely chanting and remembering Krishna and his name, form, qualities, pastimes, and so forth. In this way, after developing a taste for such thing, one should try and live in Vrindavan. So he says, the first stage is Shravan Dasa. In the neophyte stage, one should always engage in hearing Krishna Katha. It is called Shravan Dasa, the stage of hearing. And by constantly hearing the transcendental holy name of Krishna, hearing about his pastimes, form, etc., one comes to the second stage, which is Varan Dasa, stage of acceptance. And then, in this stage, he gets attachment for hearing about Krishna. And when one continues like this, then gradually he comes to the stage of Krishna Smaran. He remembers Krishna. And that also is gradual. That means first, his remembrance is not continuous, is interrupted. But gradually he comes to the stage of Anusmriti, which is constant remembrance. And then he comes to the stage of Samadhi, and then Sampatti Dasha. What is the meaning of Sampatti Dasha? It's the stage where he understands his eternal constitutional position or Swarupa. So it's not so cheap like we think sometimes, why don't I know in what rasa I am or what is my relations with Krishna. This comes at a very, very advanced stage, Sampatti Dasha. So first let's begin with Shravan Dasha. That means Shravanam, this process of Shravan. That if we do this continuously now, hear about Krishna, chant Krishna's names, then gradually we'll come to the stage of remembrance of Krishna. Right? So this has to be our practice. That we must practice to chant, hear Krishna, and then gradually we'll come to the stage of remembering Krishna. Of course, we can speak so much about this. You see, the 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita is all about many purports and shlokas Krishna talks about remembering him, right? In the purport, Prabhupada explains nicely that how we can practice the art of remembering Krishna. So I'll just conclude with one small, very small pastime, that how this remembrance of Krishna is not something very easy. Right? This remembrance of Krishna requires mercy of Krishna and his devotees. So this should be our prayer always to Krishna and his devotees, that somehow or other we can get some remembrance of Krishna. So there's a pastime in Chaitanya Bhagavat where Haridas Thakur, he's praying to Lord Chaitanya. You know, Mahaprakash Leela is a very nice pastime of Chaitanya Bhagavat, where Mahaprabhu for 21 hours he revealed himself as Krishna. Usually Mahaprabhu always revealed himself as a devotee, but on some occasions he displayed his form as Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in the house of Srivas Thakur, once Mahaprabhu sat down on the throne of Vishnu and he asked all the devotees to worship him, to glorify him. He was calling one after other devotees, and they were offering prayers to him, and he was fulfilling all his desires. Right? To Murari Gupta, he showed the form as Lord Ram, because Murari was devotee of Lord Ram. So then he calls Haridas Thakur, and he first glorifies Haridas Thakur. He says, Haridas, you know that when the Yavanas, they were beating you in 22 marketplaces, I already sent my Sudarshan to kill all of them, but you prayed for their welfare. You wanted their welfare. So because you prayed to forgive them, so my Sudarshan Chakra also could not kill them. Just see Haridas Thakur, that those Yavanas who were beating him so mercilessly, he was praying for their protection. So then Mahaprabhu says, my Sudarshan could not kill them. So what did I do? I protected your body with my own body. And he showed the marks. He said, just see, here are the marks in my body, that how I protected you when the Yavanas were beating you. And then he says, Haridas, that if anybody just remembers you or associates with you even for a day, he will surely get Krishna Prem. You are such an exalted devotee. And he says, please ask me for a benediction. And then Haridas Thakur offers prayers. And he says, my dear Lord, you have told that anybody who remembers you, you always give him protection. But, and then he says the examples. So I'll just send 2 more minutes. So he gives 4 examples. He first gives the example of Draupadi. That Draupadi was in distress, right? And the Duryodhan and Dushasan, they were trying to disrobe her. But what Draupadi did? She remembered Krishna, Govinda. And immediately came and protected her. You became her cloth. And then he tells the example of Parvati. That how Parvati also once was in trouble. And then she remembered you. You came and protected her. Then he gives the example of the Pandavas. That how they went, whenever they were in difficulty, they remembered you. They were protected. Then he gives the example of Prahlad Maharaj, which we'll hear in the 7th canto. That he went to so much suffering. It's incomprehensible. We can't even think about the difficulties that Prahlad Maharaj went through. But what did Prahlad do? He is the Acharya for Smaranam. He just remembered you, my Lord, and you protected him. Then he gives the example of Ajamil. That although he was such a great sinner, but at the time of death, he remembered you by chanting your name, Narayan. And then he says, this is the most important thing. He says, my dear Lord, I am so fallen that I cannot remember you. Who is saying this? Haridas Thakur is saying this. Right? That I am so fallen that I cannot remember you. And Haridas Thakur was chanting how many names? 3 lakh names of Krishna every day. So he says, these words do not apply to me, for I do not remember you. You protect even a fallen soul if he simply remembers you. So this is Haridas Thakur's mood. He's praying to Lord. He's not saying, oh, I am so great, I am always remembering you. No, he's saying that, I am so fallen, I am not able to remember you. So please bless me. And then he prays for a benediction. He says that give me the remnants of your devotees. Give me this benediction that may I have the remnants of your devotees. That means he's teaching us that remembrance of Krishna is possible only by the mercy of Krishna and his pure devotees. Therefore he's saying, let me have the benediction of taking the uchistha or the remnants of your pure devotees. So this is what we learn from the lives of these great acharyas, that this is the greatest prayer that we can offer to Krishna. O Lord, please bless me so that I may remember you. Please give me the association of devotees in whose association I may remember you. Thank you. Any questions, any comments? Yes, Prabhuji.
Thank you,
Guru. Very
nice work, very nice. Thank you. And you mentioned about the Kundalini that I
think you forgot to tell the rest of the part.
Yes.
Yes, please
tell, you can tell.
When that sloka I was chanting, and he was showing all the astha, vikara, then the Rabbi Kundalini understood, oh, he is the Absolute. Then he took the Diksha from
Yes, Prabhuji.
Very beautiful inside. So nice references he has inside.
Thank you. So Prabhuji mentioned he completed that story of Pundarik Vidyanidhi, that when Mukunda chanted these words, Aho Bakiyam, that how Krishna is so merciful, he delivered Putna. So then he came into ecstasy, he broke all the mirrors, he broke all the pots, and he tore all his clothes. And then Gadadhar Pandit could realize that he's such a great Vaishnav, and then he went to Mahaprabhu and he said, how can I atone for my aparad, because I have committed aparad to such a great Vaishnav. And then Mahaprabhu says, take Diksha from him. So this is another very important lesson, that we should not judge Vaishnava by external activities. We don't know what is his internal state of mind. Thank you, Prabhuji. Anything else? Yes, Prabhuji. You can give the mic, please. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Just want to share with Prabhupada last night. After a lecture in Mauritius, over 1,000 gentlemen, questions directed Chandra Prabhupada Swami, I can prove that Arjuna was not a pure devotee. Prabhupada said, wow, but why? What happened? Why did he say that? So, well, what happened to Arjuna? When his son Abhimanyu died, he started crying. So, he forgot him the first lesson of Bhagavad Gita. So then Prabhupada corrected him. That devotee is being devotee means beyond, they can like stone their feelings. However, and then he told the gentleman, what did Arjuna do the following day? He still got up in the morning and called for Krishna. So to support the whole point of this class, to always remember Krishna. That's not salvation by the Shiva Mahamasha. So that's an example of Arjuna Prabhupada's.
Thank you, sir. Parashar Prabhu is a very senior devotee from US. He has been in the movement for more than 30-40 years now. So thank you, made a very nice comment, pastime of Srila Prabhupada. That yes, sometimes like Arjuna, he was a pure devotee. What is the proof? That even though his son was killed, for some time he was grief-stricken, but then immediately he again followed the instructions of Krishna, remembered Krishna. So this is what we can learn from lives of great devotees. Thank you. हरे कृष्ण गंथा श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय श्री प्रभुपाद की जय हरे कृष्ण